Well, welcome to the pastor's thoughts. Boy, do I have a lot of thoughts. I was telling Judy the other day about almost anything relating to the church, relationships, business, whatever. I got more questions than answers. But I seek wisdom through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit, and God can reveal to us some answers, and we search for the peace that passes all understanding. But when you look around the world and there's so much turmoil everywhere you look, whether it's our southern border, whether it's in the Middle East, there is so many things going on. Most of you know that I enjoy studying and trying to understand Bible prophecy, things that are about to take place before Christ returns. We don't know a date. We don't set dates. Only Daddy knows. That's what Jesus said. So, but we can know the seasons, and the season is very troubling in some ways. In other ways, I hang on to the hope that we have in the blessed hope that we could possibly be the generation to see the return of the Lord. With all that said, I wanted to give some insights into the situation that's going on in the Middle East. I know it's hard to understand, especially as Christians and people that love God. And you say, well, you know, some of those over there say God or this and that. And is it the same God? And, you know, I'm not sure. But one thing for sure, it comes down to a family dispute, if you would, that has, terrible consequences to it. It's hating each other. So I'm going to try, with the help of some research and the help of some Bible teachers and so forth, maybe answer the question, why do the Jews and the Arabs, i.e. Muslims, hate each other? Well, first of all, it's really important to understand that not all Arabs are Muslims and not all Muslims are Arabs. And while a majority of Arabs are Muslims, there are many non-Muslim Arabs. Further, there are significant more than non-Arab Muslims in areas such as Indonesia, Malaysia, and there's other Arab Muslims all around the world. We have Muslims here in this country that don't participate in that kind of hate. I've had some good Muslim friends and still do. We don't agree theologically, but, you know, we don't hate each other. And I think it's important to remember that not Arabs hate the Jews. Not all Muslims hate the Jews. Not all Jews hate the Arabs and Muslims. So we got to be careful to avoid stereotyping people. However, generally speaking, and that's all I'm doing, generally speaking, Arabs and Muslims have a dislike and distrust for the Jews and vice versa. And if you study the scriptures, you'll see where some of that stuff took place and how it happened. And yeah, it's in the Bible and those are things that has happened. But there's the buts. The buts and the ifs of Scripture. It should not happen, but it does. And the animosity is incredible. Now, I visited the Holy Land quite a few times, and I always was fascinated. We had a lot of Muslim or Arab tour guides, and we had Jewish tour guides, too. And it was always fascinating to see how they got along. And we would go someplace, maybe take a break for lunch or something like that. And all the tour guides would get together and they talk about their family. And they would talk about that. And you think, why in the world is there so much turmoil over here about stuff like that? And then they go and they gather and they sit down and they talk about their families and so forth. It goes back to a little Ralphism. We can agree to disagree without being disagreeable but still love. I always said that if people could get along in Israel the way the tour guides get along, what a joy that would be. Well, we got the same things in our country with politics and different things, and I digress. I think there's an explicit biblical explanation for this animosity. And it goes all the way back to Abraham. The Jews are descended of Abraham's son Isaac. The Arabs are descendants of Abraham's son Ishmael. And with Ishmael being the son of a slave woman, you can find that recorded in Genesis 16, and Isaac being the promised son who would inherit the blessings of Abraham, you can find that in Genesis 21, obviously there'd be some animosity between the two sons. And as a result of Ishmael's mocking Isaac, Sarah talked to Abraham about sending Hagar and Ishmael away. Likely that caused more contempt in Ishmael's heart towards Isaac. You know, half-brothers, half-sisters, you know, I'm sure that we all have families that have the same mama but different daddies, and, well, you know, we call them half-brother, half-sister, but they were still part of the family. But what happened? Well, an angel told Hagar that Ishmael would be the father of a great nation. And, interestingly, Ishmael would be a wild donkey of a man. You can find that in Genesis 21. And his hand would be against everyone, and everybody's hand would be against him. And he would live in hostility towards all of his brothers. However, that ancient root of bitterness between Isaac and Ishmael does not really explain all this hostility we're seeing played out on our televisions now between the Jews and the Arabs. You see, the religion of Islam didn't come into being until around the 7th century, and a majority of Arabs followed Muhammad, and it just sort of made the hostility predicted of Ishmael more profound. In the Quran, it contains somewhat of a contradictory instructions for Muslims regarding the Jews. Read the Quran sometime. It's interesting reading. It's like the Apocrypha in the Bible and the different things. You know, do a lot of studying. It's interesting. That doesn't mean that you're going to have the answers to everything, but it's interesting to study history and cultures and try to understand, you know, what happens in this old world that we're blessed to live in. So at one point, it instructs by the Quran Muslims to treat Jews as brothers, and another part commands that Muslims attack Jews who refuse to convert to Islam. Now, the Quran also introduces a conflict as which the son of Abraham was truly the son of promise. But the Hebrew scriptures say, it was Isaac. So the Quran says, oh no, it was Ishmael. And the Quran teaches that Ishmael, in whom Abraham, you know, sacrificed to the Lord, all the kind of stuff in contradiction to Genesis 22. This debate over who was the son of promise further contributes to today's hostilities. You know, I found out one thing, and you look at the Muslim nations or the Arab nations, and they were oil rich. And, you know, Israel, there is no oil in Israel. So the lands, you know, the Arabs got all the oil and so forth, and the Jewish people have just that little strip and really not much to offer, except they, in modern technology, they have a lot to offer. But it's a root. The conflict between the Jews and the Arab is political. Not spiritual, not biblical, but political. So, a little bit of history. After World War II, when the United Nations gave a portion of the land of Israel to the Jewish people, it was always the Holy Land. It was always part of the original part that we always called Israel. And it was a land that was ruled by the British and primarily inhabited by Arabs, although one-third of the population, even back then, was Jewish. So most arrows protested vehemently against this new Israeli state. In fact, they went to war right after it was declared. And they refused this Arab-Palestinian state offered by the UN plan. Now, there is no country called Palestine. There is an area called Palestine. I talked about that in the New Testament. But the plan that the UN offered was not acceptable to the Arabs, including the nations of Egypt and Jordan and Iraq and Syria. What they do, they got together and they attacked Israel in order to try to drive them into the sea. But we know by history they were defeated. So the defeat of the Arab forces soon became a human tragedy when surrounding all the Arab nations, and they refused to absorb the Arab refugees from this area called Palestine. So ever since 1948, there had been great hostility between Israel and its Arab neighbors. Now the tension had been stroked by political rhetoric and existence of groups such as Hamas, and that's what's going on now, with continuing obsessions with the whole thing of wiping out the Zionist entity, chasing the Jews into the sea, and more importantly, they want to reverse the results of the 1948 United Nations that gave that little strip of land called Israel. Now, Israel just really exists on one tiny piece of land. If you're following any of this stuff on television with the news, it's sad. I mean, it's very vivid. The things that are taking place is just criminal. The land surrounded by all the larger Arab nations, Jordan, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Egypt. It's, in my humble view, biblically speaking, Israel has a right to exist as a nation on its own land that God gave to the descendants of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. You can find that in Genesis 12. Now, we hope and pray because of the slaughter and the murder and the killing, and it's just so sad. Yet you look over also into the old nation of Persia, which is now modern-day Iran. There's connections there between Iran and even Germany. During the time of Hitler, there was a big connection. There's a connection now between Iran and Russia. Bible prophecy is, wow, playing out right in front of our eyes. Watching it every day on the news, live and in color. And I hope and pray that we can come to a peaceful solution, although I don't know. But it does say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I always said, if you want to know what's going on in the world, watch Jerusalem. It's the key to Bible prophecy. Well, like I said at the beginning, I got more questions than answers, and I certainly don't have any answers, but other than to pray for the peace that passes all understanding. And in Genesis, it also says that those who curse Israel will be cursed, and whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. The United States of America has been a very close ally to the Israeli people, and there's something to that. So we hope and pray that somehow or another, brothers and sisters in this world can come and put some of this stuff to bed and agree to disagree, but still to love. We have an awful lot of people on our prayer list. Dave Watson, for once, having trouble with his eyes, so we want to keep him specifically in prayer. But the good news is personal prayer is something that we all need. And you don't need a priest. You don't need a 1-800 number. Since Jesus was on the cross and gave up the ghost, and the veil in the temple was rent in two, signified that we had direct access to the Holy of Holies in the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth. So, talk to God. God wants to talk to you. talk to him, give him your prayers. Jesus said, go into your prayer closet. And what that means is that personal time. Be still and know that I'm God. Pour out your heart. As you know, by the Holy Spirit school, he knows everything about you anyhow. And the Spirit is in you. And he wants to cooperate with you if you would only cooperate with him. So we closed the little segment with the Lord's Prayer, the traditional Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. For a model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Pray for the peace of Israel in Jesus' name. Amen.